most exciting things we have with us today, because joining us today, all the way from the Pacific Coast, is Ashley Wilkerson, who is the lead pastor of Pacific Coast Church, along with her husband, John Fulton. But don't worry, because she is a Georgia girl through and through. Her mom, Barbara, is here with her today, as well as her daughter, Izzy. We are so excited to have her. If you've gone on and read Ashley's bio, you know the wonderful things that she has done. She's lead pastor at her church. She is an author, and in fact, we have copies of her books here today. She is a gifted speaker and writer who is devoted to really sharing God's truth. And today, she has devoted her time to sharing the truth with our ladies here at Mount Perrin North, and got a special word that God has prepared for her. So would you please join me and give her a giant bloom welcome, a virtual hug. Thank you, Ashley.
It is good to be home in Georgia. My gosh. Friends, can I just take a second and just, I had to get tissue on the way up here because I've already been crying so much this morning. Is anybody with me? Ooh. I just want to pause for a second and I want to thank Pastor Kirk. I want to thank the whole team. Gosh, every single one of you has been so amazing. Allie, I see you, girl. Ooh, we've already had so many moments this morning. Man, we were praying before and like the Lord was just doing something and she's like, not now. She's like, I have too much right now. And I said, and I just did my makeup. Yeah, no, we're there. I'm excited for what the Lord has today. I know it was already spoken, but my mom is here. I grew up about 2 hours from here. I grew up in a tiny little town called Lincolnton. It's just north of Augusta. Nobody's heard of Lincolnton, but Augusta they've heard of. But I wonder, Mom, can you stand? This is my mom, Barbara. And she's amazing and everything that I want to be when I grow up. And my daughter, Izzy, is here. Her name is Israel. We call her Izzy, but I'm going to make her stand because she hates it. Yes. But I have an amazing family, and we have a picture of them. They are still in the PNW. My husband, John Fulton, or JF, and then my son, Fulton, and they are holding it down with our two dogs this morning. I dare not call them because, you know, we're 3 hours behind. So when I got up, it was 3 a.m. there. So we'll touch base after this session. But I want to thank each and every one of you for having me. Thank you for making such an inviting, welcoming place for even women that aren't from Mount Perrin North. I feel that. It's so, so beautiful. But I also want to give a shameless plug this morning. There's a few things that I have in the lobby for you. And part of the reason that I was even crying this morning is just the beautiful spoken word and song of Psalm 23. And I just finished a book last year that was 10 years in the making. My background is academics. I was a professor before I was ever a pastor, but the Lord had the pastoral heart and the preacher girl heart in me since I was little. I laugh and because I genuinely missed my junior and senior proms, both because I was preaching. But the Lord has birthed this book in my heart, and I brought a few today. If you're interested in buying them, you also can buy them on Amazon. There's a Kindle version and a print version. But for me, Psalm 23 was the very first passage that I ever memorized in church. I grew up in church. My parents started the church that I grew up in, but not as pastors. Such a unique scenario and situation. They knew that God had called them to plant a church, but they knew that God had called them to just serve in that church and to be faithful. So every single one of you servant leaders here today that have been faithful and behind the scenes and making it happen, thank you, thank you, thank you. That spirit is what I was birthed out of. It is what makes the church function and the gospel spread. Amen? But this book, for me, I was the kid who asked all the questions all the time. Now y'all know why my mom is so sweet, because I was the one who was, but why? But why, Mom? And I knew I loved the Lord and I knew I loved Scripture, but I had a real hard time because there were passages in Scripture, if we're real honest, when we read them the way that our Western hemisphere, our American minds read them, they seem to contradict. Well, can I say that out loud? Is somebody going to come up here and take the mic from me right now? They seem to contradict. And for me, that was always a struggle. And so I would ask questions and questions. And sometimes I would be met with answers like, well, you just got to have faith. And for me, I was a little researcher, a little scientist. So for me, that wasn't good enough. Yes, I agree, you have to have faith. But I know that all truth is God's truth. And so for me, I just needed to dig a little deeper, right? And I remember the Lord had me encounter an amazing messianic Jewish rabbi who introduced me to the idea of studying the cultural context of Scripture. And the very first passage that he taught to me was Psalm 23. And for me, it revolutionized not only the way that I saw that specific psalm, but the way that I saw all of Scripture. And the way that I saw God's provision for my entire life. So now, 10 years later, this is a 6-session study. And it's a workbook and a study all in one. And there's a QR code in the back that has access to live teachings of me teaching every single one of these sessions. So I just want to encourage you, if you have someone in your life that has lots of questions, that feels like they're conflicted about certain parts of Scripture that seem to contradict, even though they really don't, right? When we dig deeper. If they're struggling with seeing God in their desert seasons, I promise you, this is a book that you want to grab, you want to check out, not just because I wrote it, but because of the way that God changed my life through it. Amen? So is that enough of a plug? They're in the lobby. If we sell out today, there's also cards that have little QR codes that take you right to the book on Amazon. I'll be signing those if any of you are interested after this second session. Amen? But this idea of context doesn't just apply when we're reading Scripture. Context applies to every part of our life. It matters. And I remember I met my husband, JF is his name. He actually grew up in the Seattle area. He is a Seattle grunge rock tattoo-covered kid to the core. Okay? And I met him in Nashville. I was at Vanderbilt. He was at Belmont. He was a musician. I should have known better. Allie, what's our deal with us and musicians? I know. It's a problem. But I remember the first time I took him home to my little town in Lincolnton. Now, y'all, he flew into Atlanta, and then we make the drive from Atlanta. We have to take the Thompson exit, all right? And I remember the second we took that exit, he's like, whoa, where are the streetlights? Oh, why is it so dark? You're going 55. How can you go 55? You can't see anything. I'm like, baby, it's fine. Just relax. We pull into my parents' driveway, and he hears the cows from the farm next door, and he's like, what is that sound? He's mortified. But the very best part was when we started going around our little small town. And everybody thinks I make this up, but my mom can actually confirm today. So the town I grew up in, the entire county still only has 3 red lights. And one is a blinking caution. Not kidding. To this day, right? And so we're walking around the town. We go to the grocery store. There's only 3 places, right? So we go to the grocery store. We're walking through, and then we go, like, to our little Hardee's. And so we go in there, we're grabbing a burger. And he said, baby, I'm a little confused. And I said, what's going on? And he has a hard time, you know, understanding Southern accents anyway. But I said, tell me, I can translate, it's fine. And he said, I don't understand because I keep hearing them talking about a football team, but it ain't the Georgia Bulldogs, and it ain't the Yellow Jackets, and it's not the Falcons. And I said, okay, give me more. And he said, I don't know. They keep talking about football, but I'm not connecting. And I said, oh, it hit me pretty quickly. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to explain to my husband that for those of us who were born and raised in Lincolnton, both my parents were born and raised in Lincolnton, high school sweethearts. My mom's one of 14. Most of her siblings are still there. I have 48 first cousins, just first cousins on my mama's side, okay? For those of us who were born and raised in Lincolnton, we have a phrase for outsiders. Now, it's not that we don't love outsiders. We do. And we're the most hospitable people you'll ever meet. But we know that if you weren't born and raised in Lincolnton, you ain't going to understand all of our ways, okay? There's a little bit of stuff that we're going to have to explain to you and go a little bit further. And our phrase for those that weren't born in Lincolnton is that you're an NFL. And so when my husband comes to me and he says, I don't understand this football team that they keep talking about. And I said, well, what did they say? And he said, every time I walk into a room, I hear the phrase NFL. And I said, oh, baby, that actually stands for not from Lincolnton. And they're talking about you. Now, why would we even have that phrase, right? Why would we have that? Well, we need a phrase to understand and to show to others that, yes, you can fully understand everything that we're talking about, but we're going to have to unpack it a little more if you didn't grow up here. Well, how many of you know that the Bible wasn't written in English? Jesus didn't grow up in America. That's not the case. So there are times when we read our English translations that just like those NFLs when they come to my little hometown, we have to take a second and have it unpacked to us a little bit further. Well, Psalm 23 is a perfect example of this. Psalm 23 is this beautiful passage about God's provision, but it's packed full of what we call colloquialisms. What does that mean? It means phrases that really can only fully be understood in the cultural context of which they were written. And there are parts of Psalm 23 that we have to look at culturally to fully understand this idea of God's provision over our life and seeing Him provide for us in those desert seasons. And so this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to unpack a little bit of this with you today. We're going to start with Psalm 23. Let's read just the first three verses. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." When David says, "I lack nothing," he loses me. Until I start to unpack the cultural context, he loses me because if I'm really honest with you, I'm the woman that I know I look so incredibly confident standing up here on stage. But when I look in the mirror, I immediately have a tendency to see everything I lack. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not her, I'm not this. And anybody with me? Or if I start scrolling on social media, that doom scroll, right? And I start comparing, then immediately in my head, I'm going to, oh my gosh, I don't have that. I haven't done this. And I start to really focus on everything that I feel like I lack. And it's so detrimental. But I love how the NASB actually says, or the King James Version says, I shall not want. What does that mean, that we have all we want? Anybody in here have everything they want? No. It means I want for nothing, and I have everything I what? Need. And we understand that that is what all of Psalm 23 is unpacking for us. But sometimes when we are in those desert seasons, we can know in our head that we have all that we need, but we can still feel like we're lacking, right? I believe in these first three passages of Psalm 23, the psalmist, David, unpacks for us some desert pictures. Desert pictures that if we begin to understand their true colloquial meaning, we can start to actually encourage our souls in those desert seasons, in those wilderness seasons, in those times that we feel like we are lacking. We can begin to encourage our souls in everything that God actually is providing, He has provided, and we will begin to see it. How many of you know that even when we speak the same language, we don't always communicate perfectly? Anybody married? Maybe that's just me. But yeah, it's, and I'm not even talking about like accents, right? I'm talking about, like we mentioned before, colloquial phrases. So where I live in the Pacific Northwest, we have this gorgeous volcano, and she's an active volcano, but most people call her a mountain. Her name is Mount Rainier, or Mount Tahoma is her indigenous name. And she's breathtaking, like unbelievably breathtaking. And pictures just don't do her justice. But I remember when we first moved there, we'd be walking even through the grocery store, and people would be like, "Hey, yo, the mountain's out." And my husband would be like, "Yep, she's out today, mountain's out." And that was really confusing to me, because I looked at him and I said, "You're not gonna convince me. I don't care how Southern I am. You can't convince me that the mountain never goes in." That's just a weird thing. He said, no, baby. I mean, when we say the mountain is out, it means the cloud cover around it has moved and you can see her. And there's a phrase in the PNW, live life like the mountain's out, because it's just so special. Anybody sports fans in here? Yeah, so I remember the first time, I didn't grow up watching basketball tons. I love basketball, but we don't have a basketball team. Our Sonics were taken away from us, and so we don't get to watch basketball that much. But I remember when my husband introduced me to the NBA and started talking about a triple-double. I said, "I'm not a mathematician, but that ain't good math." Right? Colloquial terms that are specialized to the areas in which you're referencing. Well, Psalm 23 has many of these, and I discuss them in the study, but this morning I want to talk about three desert pictures that I believe Psalm 23 references. And the first one, if you're taking notes, and can I encourage you to take notes? And here's why. Not just because I'm a teacher, okay? Not because I personally have anything important to say, but because of the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. And if you're willing to take the effort and make the time to write notes down and then go back in your own personal time with Him this week, next week, I believe He will speak to you further and make it personal. Amen? If you're taking notes, the very first desert picture that I believe Psalm 23 references is green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. So I grew up in church my whole life. I was the first baby born in the church that my parents planted. And I remember being in Sunday school. Anybody remember Sunday school? Yeah, you don't see it very often now, but my amazing Sunday school teachers had this really advanced technology called a felt board. Anybody familiar with that? It's literally a board with felt on it. And then with the Sunday school curriculum, you had pictures that they were perforated, and you tear them out and you stick them on the board. And that was our, you know, LED screen then. But I remember growing up and memorizing Psalm 23, and I remember the pictures of the sheep laying down in green pastures. And the ones on the felt board were exactly what I pictured. I pictured green pastures and myself as the sheep. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm this really healthy sheep. I'm relaxing in the soft grass. The grass is so tall, and if I get hungry, all I gotta do is just reach my head over and just eat. Like, it doesn't get better than that, people. Relaxing, reach your head over, eat. In my picture, there's a stream beside it as well. So if I get thirsty, I just reach my head over the other way. I'm just in the shade. It is perfect. Well, I remember the first time I saw a picture of what green pastures in the colloquial sense actually means. I remember talking to that same rabbi I mentioned, and he said, "Ashley, you don't understand. Green pastures is a shepherding term in the Middle East. If you were to go to the Middle Eastern desert today and ask even a kindergartner what green pastures are, they would describe to you rocky desert terrain." And I said, "Well, wait, what do you mean? It's not like the alfalfa grass that I'm..." He said, No. What happens is that winds will blow over the Mediterranean, and tiny droplets of dew will collect on sides of rocks, and little tufts of grass will grow, and it's sparse. And if an American saw that picture, they would think it looked like the deserts of Arizona. There's only little bitty tufts of grass. And as the shepherd leads an entire flock of sheep to that green pasture, it is only enough for one mouthful, for one sheep that day. And I said, "Well, wait, back up. Explain that to me again." And he said, "As the shepherd leads, if he finds the green pastures, he will make the sheep lie down there. And it is only enough for each sheep to have one mouthful for that day." And I said, "Well, I don't understand. What happens then the next day?" And he said, "The next day, the sheep have to get up, trust the shepherd, and follow him again." And that for me changed everything. That simple understanding of what green pastures was, the idea that the God of the universe, as my shepherd, as I'm following him, he desires not to just give me an abundance so I never have to trust him again, but instead to provide daily in a way that I could learn to trust him fully. Man, we see this in Exodus 16, right? We see it with the manna for the children of Israel. We see it in Matthew when the disciples look to Jesus and they say, "You know, out of all the things, Lord, tell us how to pray." And he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Daily bread. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why would the shepherd have to make me? Because I don't want to lay down in places like that. If it's up to Ashley, all of my entire garage is going to be stockpiled with Costco items so that I never have to want for anything. But he said, no, that's not how I work. I care too much about you. I am jealous for you. What if the God of the universe wants you to need him? And the way that he provides for you in that daily bread, in those green pastures ways, is all about cultivating that. What if this morning we begin to understand that our good shepherd is more concerned with your cultivation than your comfort? Man, let that resonate in your soul. Maybe you've been in a desert season and you're wondering, Lord, why would I have to walk through this? Why wouldn't you just provide fully, immediately, and I wouldn't even have to look to you? I'm concerned more with your cultivation than your comfort. It's a powerful, powerful picture. Green pastures. God's provision doesn't always look like an abundance and us knowing exactly where we're going, us seeing the entire plan, us having everything stockpiled for the next 5 years. No. It looks far more, if you read scripture, it looks far more like daily bread, doesn't it? The second picture this morning is quiet waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Most people are shocked to find out that the vast majority of tourist deaths in the Middle East, especially the Middle Eastern desert, we're talking about tourists now, we're not talking about war. The vast majority of deaths are not from dehydration, right? Tourists going through the desert and getting dehydrated. It's not from like snakes or anything like that. It's not from scorpions. In my head, I kind of went straight there. The vast majority of Middle Eastern tourist deaths in the desert happen from flash floods. Can you believe that? Flash floods. So what happens is you have this rocky desert terrain, right? It's not sandy in the way that we're thinking about it. You know, it's not Destin, Florida. We're talking about just rocky desert terrain. And when it does get rain, especially on certain sides of certain mountains, that limestone, that type of terrain cannot absorb it. And you end up having these flash floods, and they will rush down sides of these mountains, and they'll carve out canyons, and they'll end up with entire little ponds in these valleys. And what's interesting is that these little ponds, once they evaporate, will leave behind the really, really fine silica sand that we sometimes even use in like crafts because it's so fine and it's really rich and beautiful. And these areas, these canyons that have these water puddles from time to time are called wadis. Everybody say wadi. Such a fun word to say. They're called wadis. And what's interesting is that Jesus in Matthew 7 tells a story about a wadi. You might know it. We sang a song about it in Sunday school. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Anybody remember that song? The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. That story that Jesus tells about the foolish man building his house on sand, he was not foolish because it was sand. That word in the original language is wadi. He was foolish because of where the sand was. He built his house in the middle of a wadi. So what's going to happen? You know, the rains will come down and then those floodwaters will go rushing in. And the way and reason they're so incredibly dangerous is because these pools that it leaves behind look so enticing. They look so attractive. Can you imagine walking through the desert being thirsty and hot, and you see this beautiful pool down in this canyon, and you're thinking, I'm just going to go take a dip, right? I'm going to go get some water to drink. I'm going to at least splash my face. And then all of a sudden, My understanding is that when these floods come through, you're talking about 8, 10, 12 feet tall, an entire flooding rush of water that's so dangerous it will wipe out anyone in its path. Now, foolish man built his house in the wadi. Those waters, because they are raging and so fast and so dangerous, they sound like a freight train is what I'm told. They are called loud waters in the Middle Eastern desert. But the psalmist says, he leads me beside quiet waters. And I found it so interesting that the shepherd would lead us away from those dangerous loud waters, those areas that look so easy, so enticing, so, oh, but Lord, it's literally just right there. Why can't I just go and, no, let me just take a drink. And he said, no, you don't understand. That is so dangerous for you. I lead you to quiet waters. I lead you to the places that are less obvious. I lead you to a place where I can refresh you in a way that nothing that looks that simple can. And I wonder this morning, what are your loud waters? Like, what is it that you're desiring and you're seeing and you're like, Lord, it's so simple. It's just right here. Can I please just? And he's going, no, you don't get how dangerous that can be for your soul. I am your shepherd. I'm protecting you. You're going to have to trust me to lead you to a deeper place. You are set apart. This water is too dangerous. It's not for you. I have something in a quiet place. I have something that is hidden. And you're going to have to trust me with every step so I can lead you there. Green pastures, quiet waters. And the last picture, as the band comes back, is one of my favorites, and it's called an aurora bush. Everybody say aurora. I know, it's weird. It's weird, right? But it's such a fun thing to say. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why? Because it's not my nature. He wants me to trust him daily. He leads me beside quiet waters, not the loud ones, not the obvious stuff that's right in front of me. He's leading me to a deeper place. He refreshes my soul. There's never a time that I read that passage that I don't think about the aurora bush. And the aurora bush is mentioned a few places in Scripture, but my favorite place that it's mentioned is Jeremiah 17. It's this specific passage that is so beautiful. It's an actual quote from God himself. And it says in verse 5 and 6, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush. If you have your actual Bible, circle that word bush. Because that word bush in the original language is a specific bush. It is the aurora bush. But our great translators, when they were translating it into English, said, ain't nobody gonna know what an aurora bush is. We only have that in the Middle Eastern desert. So let's just say bush. And that doesn't make it wrong, but we lose so much of the picture and the impact. The idea there is that the aurora bush is this anomaly. It's this gorgeous, massive succulent. And I have links in the book to actual pictures. It's so powerful. But it looks like a massive succulent plant. And it grows in the middle of the most crazy Middle Eastern desert terrain where there looks like nothing could ever grow. And when you walk up to it, the aurora bush actually produces a type of fruit that looks like mangoes. And when you touch the fruit, and it's like squishy. And it feels like there's this incredible juice inside. So just picture with me. Can you imagine walking through the desert, seeing this gorgeous succulent plant? You're like, how does this even grow here? This is so beautiful. And then you walk up and you're thirsty and you feel it and you're like, oh, this is going to be so refreshing. I can't wait to break it open. But when you break open the fruit of an aurora bush, it makes a sound. And you realize inside of that fruit is only two things. Air, which is what made it feel squishy. And then there's a cobweb-like substance that holds a serum, just a drop. And to this day, that serum is among the deadliest found in the entire Middle East. To this day, the Bedouin tribes actually wipe that serum on the ends of their arrows so that when they shoot, it kills the prey on contact. Now, what is the Lord saying in Jeremiah? Cursed is the one who trusts just in man, just in humanity, who relies just on mere flesh, whose heart is turned from the Lord. That person's going to be like an aurora bush. You might look so beautiful. You might look so perfect and like you have everything together and that you're producing fruit. But if people get close enough to your life, if they start to inspect the fruit of their life, of your life, all they'll find when they break it open is emptiness and death. Why do I tell you that this morning? Because the psalmist is so clear that the Lord is the one who refreshes our souls. And so often we look to others, or maybe we look to ourselves and look, I know what it's like to be a woman who holds 800,000 roles. I know you do. I know you're on the job. I know you're the chef and the cleaner and the accountant. And I know that you're the driver. You're the one in charge of this and that and the other. And everybody looks to you. But the Lord would say to you this morning that I have to be your source, he says. Even the most well-meaning people that want to be your source. It's not that you're not to do life with them. We are called to link arms together in community. But friends, we have to recognize that we are not our own sources and others are not our own sources. I'm going to close with this story. My Izzy's on the front row. She was little, and Fulton was a baby. I remember I was having one of those nights where I went to put his diaper on for bedtime. And I reach in, and the diaper bag was empty. Anybody have that feeling? And I'm like, no. I will totally blame it on my husband and say that he used the last one and didn't tell me. But we were like out of milk too, and I felt like the biggest mom fail. And I remember going, Fred Meyer, which is like our Kroger, our Publix. It's like Fred Meyer's. It's gonna close in like 10 minutes. I gotta run to the store before they close. I'll be right back. I gotta get the stuff. And so I run and Izzy runs up to me. She's like 4 or 5. Mommy, I wanna go. Yeah, come on, let's go. We get in the car. We run through Fred Meyer. And I'm like that woman, right? Who's just grabbing stuff and running up to the counter, and you know, the lady's so ticked because it's probably like 1 minute after closing and I shouldn't even be there, and I'm just all the mom guilt, all the everything. And I go and I'm so sorry, thank you for allowing me to check out. And she scans the last item, and I reach in my pocket and I forgot my wallet. And y'all, I didn't have Apple Pay on my phone, okay? And it was just that moment of like, okay, I failed at this too. All right, my Izzy. She looks at me and she goes, Mommy, I have my purse. And I went, girl, what you got? remember her opening her little purse and she's dumping her stuff out. And it's like 3/4 and 2 dimes and a penny. And I said, thank you, baby. That is so kind. You're so generous. You're amazing. But it's not enough for mommy to get everything today. But in that moment, I thought, how many times have I gone to people in that exact same way? And they wanted to give me everything they had. They were willing and they were ready. And yet the Lord said, no, 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 even their best is not enough to fill you. Even their best is not going to fill that God-sized hole inside of you. I am the only one that can refresh you. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. You're doing great. You're already here. You're making space for the Lord to speak to you today. You already are making it a priority. You are in a perfect position. And I truly believe that throughout this day, the living God of the universe will speak powerfully to you. He will begin to refresh you in a way that no human can. He will begin to refresh you in a way that even you in all of your incredible strength, and we're going to talk about that later, even you can't. He is our source. He is our source. He is our source. He is our source. And this morning, as you bow your heads, I just want to pray for you. And I feel like this message is truly for someone today. Maybe you are in the middle of a desert season and you've been questioning whether God is even there. Girl, I've been in that exact same place where life gets so hard. You think, Lord, this can't even be real because it feels like you have left me. And I believe the Lord is speaking to you, friend. You're in green pastures. I'm making you lie here for a season. I'm making you lay down here because I want you to get up and know you can trust me. I want you to get up and know that you can follow me. And even though you don't see the provision, I will bring it. I will be your source. Some of you are wrestling with the loud waters versus quiet waters. And I just want to encourage you. Those loud waters are dangerous in a way that you can't possibly fathom. That guy, that relationship, that bottle, that pill, whatever it is that is flashing right in front of you and you're like, Lord, this is a quick fix. I can do this. I can do this. And he said, no, no, no. I have set you apart. I have something so much deeper. I have something so much safer, something that actually will restore your soul. I have that available for you. If you will trust me and follow me, I will lead you right there. He is your source. He fills you in a way that no husband can, that no boyfriend, no job, no position, no title, no degree. It's him that your soul longs for. Lord, you know every single woman here. It is not a coincidence that she's sitting in this seat today. Lord, you knew her before she was even born. You ordained this day. Lord, we thank you that you've actually provided for her in ways that she doesn't even recognize. Lord, we ask right now that you would help us to grasp this idea of your provision, that we truly do not lack anything, that we may not have all that we want, but we do have all that we need when we just trust and follow you. For those of us in those green pastures, Lord, help us to see your sustenance. Help us to trust you greater. Help us to focus on the fact that you are cultivating us even in our discomfort. Especially in our discomfort. Lord, I pray for those wrestling with those waters. God, if they're trying to decide whether to trust you, Lord, I pray that you would help them to see the danger and that you call them to places of safety. And Lord, help us to always only look to you as our source, for you are the only one that can sustain. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're beginning to do even now in our hearts and in our minds. And we're excited for it to continue. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know what to say, except that was session one. And all day today, God is speaking into your hearts. Just go with the spirit of openness that you have with you today. Whatever session you've picked, it's going to start at 10:35. Take your time, get there, but know that women have been praying over you to prepare these times. All of those session choices are listed on your schedule. If you haven't downloaded the app, please make sure you do that. Bloom24 is the password. If you, I won't see you again until lunch, but there's something very important I need to tell you. You got a swag bag when you came in. Open up your swag bag. You have lots of amazing things in there, but someone has an envelope that says Kathy Lewis on it, and that person is not Kathy Lewis, and that has all the information we need to feed you lunch. So if you have an envelope in your bag that says Kathy Lewis, Kathy is not going to prosecute, but she needs you to get you to get her that envelope. Nobody look. You don't need to know who had it. Mind your business. We're a safe space. We can all eat lunch. By the way, lunch will be in the gym. And if you feel you're unable to walk to the gym, if you can come back to the main lobby, some of our gentlemen will escort you to the gym in a golf cart. If you feel like you can't do another thing, you just need to rest. You just need to pray. You just need to hear from the Lord. Know that we have a prayer and restoration room set up for you across the hall in room 116. I think it's called the team room often. We have prayer counselors there, but we also have just nice, quiet space. If you want to read your Bible, if you want to pray, if you want to hear from the Lord, that will be open to you during breakout one and breakout two. We want you to leave the breakout and spend some time along with God if that's what he wants you to do. So know that that's available for you, but there are also three amazing sessions available for you. You can go through these doors. If you're going upstairs, you can go up this set of stairs in the room if you want to. There's an elevator for those who need it. Bathrooms. All restrooms are ladies' rooms today. All right, so use any restroom you want. Men, it gets over at 4. Do what you got to do, all right? But if you're here, know that all of those are available for you. If you need help finding anything, find someone in a yellow shirt or a blue shirt that says host team. Some of our gentlemen have those shirts on, and we'll help you get where you want to go. With that being said, our next session starts at 10:35. We'd love for you to stop by our exhibit hall, but you probably don't have time right now, but no, it'll be open before lunch, after lunch. I'll meet you all at lunch with some really exciting stuff. So meet me there. Have a great day, and I'll see you soon.